sat there and looked at that shortcut, and I thought, no, I better go around to the steps. It's just a joy to be here, as I said earlier. Known your pastor for years, some of you for a long time, and heard a lot about you. Preacher told me the other day, a pastor, a dear friend of mine, he said those are the most precious people on God's earth up there. And I believe him. And I thank you for being so friendly. Makes a preacher feel good the first time he comes in a place and among folks he's never seen before. Some of you I've never. And when you're friendly, it just helps. And I'm thankful for that. You know, those sour looks, I don't like them, do you? Thanks for all the smiles. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 42. You know, lots of times I'll get up in the, down to our place, and I know it's a tough world out there y'all work in. It's tough. Somebody mentioned this morning how thankful they were to brother. He had the privilege of working with a brother he could talk to during the week. That's such a blessing. And I know that most of you probably out there on the workforce and the workforce on the job, you don't have that privilege. And just a trying week, you know, sometimes to get through to the next worship service and be with the brethren. And I know sometimes when you come in, I've been there. Brother Henry told me once that every preacher ought to have to get out and dig ditches a while before he gets to the pulpit so he can sympathize with the people that do. And I've been there, worked all my life. And I know it's hard sometimes to come in, you know, with just cheery and a smile on your face, and I know it's tough sometimes. And I, often down home, folks are sitting there, you know, look kind of gloomy when I get up. I'll say, well, it's so good to see y'all smiling this morning. And they'll begin to smile. We're not conscious lots of times of how we look. And I don't like a put-on smile. I don't like that. When I go to have my picture taken, which I detest, they say smile, and it takes every ounce of strength in me to smile. And I just hate those smiles. But when you smile and it's real, that's good. My subject this morning is the thirsty soul. The thirsty soul. And I hadn't thought about this till I was sitting there this morning, you know, trying to rehearse this in my mind, my thoughts. My soul is thirsty, but yet I'm satisfied. Had you ever thought about that? I'm thirsty, I'm starving to death for a drink of water, but I'm still satisfied. How do you explain that? I probably shouldn't even started that business because I can't explain it. I can't explain it, but it's true. It's true. I'm thirsty, starving to death, and I know some of you are. You sheep here, you're thirsty. You want a drink. You want a drink of that living water. Oh, you want the Lord to touch your soul. You're not worried about your intellect. You're not worried about this old foolish mind and this foolish world. You want the Lord to touch your soul. You want to touch your soul and your heart, cause it to leap for joy. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I pray that the Lord will cause us to worship. Like I said in the Bible class, that we're friends, we're brethren, we're sisters, and we're family, and just knit our hearts together for just a brief period of time if He just blesses. That'd be heaven. That's heaven on earth. If He just blesses us one more time. The psalmist said, as the hart, or the deer, panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. O God, my heart pants after you. I want to see you so bad. I want to be, he said later on in this chapter, he said, when shall I stand before God? When will I be in your presence? Oh, I want to be. His soul was troubled. He didn't feel like he was close to the Lord. He didn't feel like he was in his presence. And you know what's a strange thing about us? We know that we are. We know that. Sometimes we feel so far away, so distant. Sometimes I feel so awful, so mean, so unloving, so I think, well, I don't even love the Lord at all. I just don't love Him at all. I feel so estranged. And what is that? That's a cry of a thirsty soul. That's what it is. David's soul was thirsty. Thirsty. You know, I look this this hart or this deer, why would he pant after the water brook? Well, there's two reasons that I found. There may be more. But one, of course, he's thirsty. Of course, we see that immediately. But another is for safety. He wants that water because he's thirsty. He wants to drink of it, and he wants to get out in the middle of it. There's enemies all around. Even his own thoughts, his own self, he feels to be his enemy. Who's your worst enemy? Who is it? Who is it? It's me. That's my worst enemy. And he wants so much, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee, and I hate myself. I hate my old self-righteous self. It's easy to hate sinful self, but what about self-righteous self? I hate myself. I hate myself. And the psalmist, he wanted to be in the middle of that brook. He wanted to be in the middle of that water. A deer feels, if he can get out in the middle of that water, away from the land where the enemies are on the shore, if he can get out there, he'd be surrounded by water and he'd be safe. He feels that they can't get to him if he's out there in the middle of that water. And while he's out there, he can get strength too. He can drink of that water and he can get strength. And that's the way a believer is, see, when he's in Christ. I want to be, where do you want to be in Christ? I want to be right in the middle of him, don't you? I don't know if that's a good way to express it or not, but I want to be in the center of Christ. I want to be in the center of him. I want him all around me. I feel safe there, and I can find strength there. I can drink. And this is the desire of this writer. This is his desire, is to drink of that water and to find safety. Verse 2, he says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. He distinguishes here between a false God and a living God, for the true and the living God. He honors God in his heart, and he says, I know you're the living God. You're the true God. I see all these false gods, and this flesh is so drawn to them. They're so alluring. Lord, I want to be in your presence. The living God, the living God. My soul's thirsty for you. Thirsty for you. Thirsty. Is your soul thirsty? You know, I could look at you and I wish I could just come down there and just make you drink and be satisfied and full and just, I wish I could do it. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever seen a brother, you love him so much and you just want to do something for him? I mean, really help them. No, really help them. Not just make some kind of passes help them, but you want to really help them. Just because you love them. Give them something good, something eternal, and something that just will really satisfy. This is what David wanted. He wanted something that would satisfy. And this is what every one of God's free. What Brother Paul, your pastor, and I love him. I don't love him like I should, but I love him beyond words. But I know what he's thinking this morning as he's standing behind the podium. He's thinking how much he loves those sheep. And he's saying, Lord, help me feed them. That was his prayer, and he got out of the bed this morning. I'll guarantee it. Just let me feed them. And if you can get a crumb this morning, if you can get a morsel, if you can just touch your tongue to that water, thank God for it. Because I can't do it. I can't do it. David had gone to the right source, hadn't he? He was talking to God. He said, my soul's thirsty for you, God. Did you ever just talk to him? Just talk to him. You can do that. You know that? Talk to him. It's not irreverent to talk to God as talking to a friend. It's not. We don't have to say all these fancy words and use all the vowels and arts and all that. We do because we're accustomed to it, but we don't have to do that to talk to him. When you're really talking to him is when you're not, when your mouth's shut and your soul's open. Lord, shut my mouth. What was it when the children of Israel got to the edge of that sea and the waters were rushing by and they had the enemy was behind them and they had to get on the other side? What was it God said? He said, stand still. Stand still and shut up and see the salvation of the Lord. Just look. That's all you have to do. Just look. My soul's thirsty. His soul was disquieted in him. He was troubled and he was cast down. And I know, I don't know anything about your day-to-day life here. Not a one of you. I don't live in your community. I've never been to the place where you work. I don't know anything about you. But I know this, if you're a believer, there's been many a day that your soul has been troubled and it's been disquieted. And your view of the Lord Jesus Christ has been, it's been cut off for a while. And your soul was disquieted. It's troubled. And that's the worst that a sheep can feel. That's his worst time in this world, is when he feels cut off. But there's a reason for it. Let me just add this. I'm going to use parentheses here. God does this. David said, it was good for me that I was afflicted. God does this. He brings us into these. He permits us, yea, even causes us to be brought into these valleys to get a look at ourself and see our need for Him and to create that thirst in us again. God does it. He does it. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When shall I come and appear before God? Have you ever thought, Lord, just let me be in your presence. All my sin, all everything I am. You know me. Have you ever heard that expression, well, I'm glad God knows my heart. Most folks say that. They thinking God knows something good about them. But I'm glad God knows about all my sin. He's the only one who can do anything about it. I'm thirsty for forgiveness. I'm thirsty for redemption. I'm thirsty for sanctification. I'm thirsty for wisdom. I'm thirsty for God. When shall I appear in His presence? He can straighten all this mess out. And He's all one can. You know, folks go to the pastor. Pastor, straighten my life out. Tell me what to do. Well, I tell you, I can't tell you what to do except go to God. I can't tell you what to do. He can straighten this mess out. He can put salve on those wounds, calm that troubled spirit. He said, my tears have been my meat day and night. You know, one of the things that troubles me, now I have an Armenian history. I come out of an Armenian religious background. And whether we want to admit it or not, we still have some of those old garments hanging on us. Some of you may have not been there, but I've been there. But I'm going to say this, and you know, sometimes even Armenian stumbles across and says something, so. But I'm going to venture to say this, and I think you'll agree with me. This troubles me. It does. And I know outward tears don't mean anything. It's got the inward tears. Is where it's at. But David here, he said, my tears have been my meat night and day. That meant his soul had been searching for God. And he'd been searching himself. And he'd seen something in himself day after day after day. This went on for a while. And I don't see, I may be wrong, but you know what I see most folks concerned about, and sadly to say, lots of professors, they're concerned about things. That troubles me. Concerned about things. Just things. Folks, I'm telling you, would there be concerned about a relationship with God? All these pretties we've got, all these things we want, they're going to go up in a puff of smoke. They're going to explode right before our very eyes. Even all human relationships. He said, tears have been my meat day and night. I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but I believe you have. I believe you have. I have. And if we're believers, we're a whole lot alike. Have you ever prayed for the Lord to break your heart? It felt like it was so hard. And, Lord, break my heart. What did the Lord make David to know? Look back over in Psalms 39. I don't know if I'm making any sense to you or not, but I'm talking to you about a thirsty soul and what causes that thirst and where that thirst is satisfied. And some of the things we go through, the Lord brings us through to recreate or to give us that thirst and to satisfy it. In Psalms 39, David said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I don't want to sin with my tongue. I don't want to dishonor God. That's what he said. I don't want to dishonor him. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Oh, I was talking to somebody about this too. Brother Stan, I think maybe you might have missed it, John, about something happened to me last week, and I didn't behave well at all. I told Mindy about it. Got angry. Didn't display the grace of God. I was before the wicked. I dishonored my master. Might as well tell it. He knows it. What was he said here? He said, I'll keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Don't want to dishonor him. See, every experience that the Lord brings through is for us to learn something. And I learned something. By God's grace, I learned something. Phil told me, said that
to say that, that God is everywhere and God knows everything, said that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And I got wired. I got angry. And I imagine he laughed after I left, because I acted just a whole lot like he did. But Lord, keep us. And you know what that was? After I went out there and the Lord settled my thoughts down, do you know what I was so thirsty for? God. Oh, God, let me see you. Let me see you. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good. Even from good, I held my peace. I was quiet. I was silent. God is in the heaven, we're upon the earth. And my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end. Make me to know who I am. And the measure of my days and what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Verse 7 and 39, he says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. I'm nobody going nowhere doing nothing. See, that's where God brings us. That's where God brings us. If God never brought you there, you're not one of His. The unconverted as of yet, until He brought you to the absolute end. I mean, till there's nowhere to go. You can't go down, you can't go up, you can't go to right, you can't go to left. You can't go nowhere, you shut up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Until that happens, you don't know it. Just you and Him. Saul of Tarsus, Lord, what would you have me to do? Can you imagine that? All that commotion around Saul there on the road to Damascus, all those people with him and all that going on, and there laid Saul of Tarsus on the face down on the ground. Who all was there? Just Saul and the Lord. Brought him to the end of himself. The thirsty soul. When I remember these things, he remembered lots of things. Memory is a great commodity, isn't it? The Lord, to have memory. To have memory. Memory, lots of times, the Lord brought things to our memory has kept us from doing the same things again, isn't it? Making the same mistake twice. I remember what I... Yes. Thank you, Lord. And sometimes, like I said this morning in the Bible class, many times I felt lonely. And I remember you. Well, I've got a friend. I've got a friend. Remember Paul Macon, John, you. I've got a friend. Memory, such a precious thing. I remember that meeting. You remember that meeting we had? The Lord sent the preachers in and they preached this message, that message, and the Lord permitted us to worship together. I remember that. I remember when we went up and we worshiped together. And what a good time it was when the saints meet together. They sang His praise and they preach His word and we worshiped together. He said, I remember these things. I remember the bad and I remember the good. I remember the bad and I remember the good. I pour out my soul in thee. For I had gone with a multitude. I had went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise and a multitude that kept holy day. I remember these things. So why are you cast down? God's still on the throne. God's still for you. So what's the matter? Who are you looking to? I've been looking to myself. No wonder you're cast down. No wonder. That's the worst place you could look to get any peace. It is. That's the worst Oh, that's the worst. That's a garbage dump. You go there, you're in trouble. You're in there, oh, man. Rotten, dead, stinking thing. That's a bad place to go. Been looking at yourself. That gets you down quick, won't it? Hope thou in God. Wesley, I pray. I read the Bible. I'm thoughtful to my wife. Sometimes I'm real thoughtful toward my wife. Sometimes. And my children, I halfway was a daddy to them. I've done several good things. Oh, boy, you're in trouble. You're going the wrong road. You're going to wind up right back in the graveyard. That's right. Soul, hope, thou in God. Oh, my soul's thirsty. Don't drink. I remember one time I was out in the woods and I was a child. I was kind of a loner. Got one sister, and we didn't have, you know, a brother and a sister. They don't have a lot to interests to get together and things to share. And I'd get out and roam around the woods all day, me and my dog. I wandered around too long one day, and way back, I knew basically where I was at, but in one sense, I was lost. And I got so thirsty, it was so hot, just a young boy, 12, 14-year-old. And needed rain, and there'd been a deer, a cow, or something. Made an imprint in the ground, and there was a little water in that. And you ain't going to believe this, but I got down and drank some of that water. Man, I was so thirsty, I'd have drank anything. I just had to have some water. I'll never make it home if I don't get something to drink. And that's the nearest to thirst physically that I've ever been to, I guess. You have to be thirsty to do that. That's how thirsty you've got to be. The Lord's got to take every other drink away from you, and you won't find any satisfaction except in Him. He's that living water. And like I said at the outset, I told you about us sitting there thinking, I'm thirsty, I'm starving to death for a drink, but yet I'm satisfied. And I can't explain that, but it's so. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. Do you all have a Bible with a center margin, center reference? If you look over there, there's a number, and mine is 8. And there's a reference in that center margin, and it says, for the help of His countenance, and in mine it says, His presence is salvation. Is that what it says? When shall I appear before God? His presence is salvation, being His presence. He said, where I am, there you shall be also. And His presence is salvation. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. John 14:6. And He said, in my presence is salvation. Now you could be in the presence of the church and still be in trouble. You can go to the baptistry and still be in trouble. You can be a Calvinist from the sole of your feet to the crown of your head and still be in trouble. I'm like Mr. Spurgeon. I'm not ashamed to be called a Calvinist if somebody knows what a Calvinist is. Calvin just simply believed the gospel. The points of Calvinism, just the gospel. But you can even believe that in your head and die for it and still be in trouble with God. You see what being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and having life and being drinking of this living water is. is you love it. You embrace it. I'm trying to give you some evidences here. And that's difficult to do because we're saved by faith and we walk by faith, not by sight. But I'm telling you, in your heart of hearts, to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love Him because He first loved us. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying our loving Him saves us. But I'm saying a believer, a hungry, thirsty soul, loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He embraces Him. Lord, don't leave me.
I don't know about you, but the times when I am blessed before the preaching, blessed with the song service, with the song, I can enter into the song from the heart, scripture reading. There are generally times when the Lord exceptionally blesses me in preaching. I don't know, is it that way with you? I enjoyed that, so I hope it's good. But offertory, when I want to stand up and sing what she's playing, I'm getting a blessing. And I came that close, and I didn't want to take away from that, the beautiful way in which she played it. All right, John 14. John chapter 14 is our text. We have been looking at this one verse, verse 6. And this is the last of three messages on John 14, 6. Let's read that one verse again. The Lord Jesus Christ saith unto Thomas, I am the way. Be truth and be life.